الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين. My brothers and sisters in Islam, inshallah, we're starting this series of four lectures based on the stories in Surah Al-Kahf. I want to emphasize about the issue of stories in the Quran a little bit, just for a few minutes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent to us the stories of the nations and the prophets before us to learn all different lessons from them, because the psychology of mankind is the same from the day of Adam till the hereafter. The needs of human beings are the same. The desires of human beings are the same. It's only the means we use which is changed. It's more advanced. We used to ride horses, now we drive cars. We fly planes. So the means are different, but the psychology and the desires and the way of thinking and the mentality of mankind, still the same. Nothing has changed. Still, men, they lust for women and vice versa. Still, men love wealth and money and power. Still, men reject the truth. Still, they have this desire of controlling others and tyranny. So we're still the same. That's why stories and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented to us the stories in the Quran, so we can derive lessons from them and how we can pave the way to our da'wah, to our life, to avoid what happened with the people before us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in Surah Yusuf, verse 111, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in their stories, there is a lesson for men of understanding. So, in the stories of the ones before us, there is wisdom for us to learn, so we can live by and understand the reality and the psychology of mankind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just send the stories as a mean of amusement. No, He sent them so we can derive these lessons. Also, at the time where the Muslims are at weakness, they need to hear the hardship the earlier generations of people, what they have went through and how much patience they had and what they did endure for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the way we're going to live our life. Subhanallah al-Azim. That's why Qasasul Quran is a very important field that we always have to repeat and try to derive wisdoms and teach ourselves and teach our children and teach the next generation and present the story that is in the Quran, not just as a story. No, present it as a reality, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not say falsehood. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the history, it did happen. It is not assumptions or based on doubtful proofs. Indeed, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is informing us about the correct history, what happened exactly. This great surah in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned four stories. The first story is the story of the youth of the cave. And that's why the chapter was called by that name Surah Al-Kahf, because of the cave. Now here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or before we go through the story, let's see what really happened before that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Mecca, he was oppressed by the kuffar, as you all know. And he was continuously tested by the kuffar. Now, because they could not find any deficiencies in the Quran, they used to send people to the Medina or other places where there is Ahlul Kitab. Because Ahlul Kitab, the people of scripture, there was a lot of prophets used to come to them. So would go ask them, what are the signs, what are the characteristics of a prophet? How can we test Muhammad? How can we test his knowledge? How can we know that he's a prophet, not a liar? They sent two people to Ahlul Kitab. Quraysh sent another ibn al-Harith wa Aqba ibn Abi Mu'ayth. to some of the rabbis of the Jews in the Medina. They said to them, tell us, what should we ask Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to know whether he's a prophet or not? The rabbis of the Jews, they said to them, ask Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about three things. If he would give you the answers for them, then he is a prophet. Otherwise, he's just a man who's narrating things to you from people. He's not really a prophet. Ask him the first question about a group of youth who disappeared in the early ages, because there is something amazing that happened to them. And ask him about a man who traveled the east and the west of this earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the power of this earth, yani to control all the earth. And ask him also about the soul, the ruh. Once they reached Mecca, they told them, we have came to you with a criterion to differentiate between the truth and falsehood. And this way we would know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger or not. They asked Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam these questions. Now, you can imagine they came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they're showing off. Now we have something against you, O Muhammad. Now we're going to test you. Now we're going to put you on the spot to see whether you're a real messenger from Allah or not. So they asked him these three questions. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied and said, I will inform you tomorrow. And here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forgot to say, inshallah. He did not say, inshallah. Then Jibreel did not come next day, nor the following day, nor the following day. Over 15 days. 15 days, Jibreel did not come. You can imagine how Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feels now. Yani, sometimes a sheikh or a lecturer, if he was asked a question and he's not able to answer, he feels bad inside. And of course, a sheikh is not a prophet. We all, yani, we don't know many things. We only know a little amount of knowledge. Imagine here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of mankind, he could not give an answer for 15 days. And people of Quraysh and people of Mecca started to talk and say, see, if he was a prophet, he would have answered us. And of course, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not say something that he does not know the truth of, or he has no knowledge of. He remained silent for 15 days. Then Jibreel came. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's teaching Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lesson that do not say, I am going to do such and such tomorrow, except that you say, inshallah, if Allah wills. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that etiquette. And here, Jibreel, after 15 days, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he gave them the answer. And this surah was revealed to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except the last part about the ruh, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it in Surah Al-Isra, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And they asked you, O Muhammad, about the soul. Say, the soul is from the order of my Lord, and you only have been given a little tiny amount of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we start the story with a small summary in the first few verses, then he explained the story in details after that. And this is from the eloquency of the Quran. Sometimes they give you the summary at the beginning, then the details comes later. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Am hasibta anna ashab al-kahf wal-raqim kanu min ayatina ajaba. Do you think that the people of the cave and the inscription, the news of the names of the people of the cave, were a wonder among our signs? Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying here to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you think this is amazing? All this, what happened to them, isn't it amazing? Isn't it a lesson for us to learn? And the word ar-raqim, here the ulama differed in opinion. What does the raqim mean? The best opinion, it says, a plate that have the list of the names of the people of the cave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Remember when the young men fled for refuge from their disbelieving flock to the cave. They said, Our Lord, bestow on us mercy from yourself and facilitate for us our affair. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned they are youth. And this is a message for the youth. We have to remember, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that the youth are the ones who they carry the burden of Islam on their shoulders. We can't expect people who reach 50 and 60 to carry the burden of Islam. If you are the youth where you have the time in your hand and the energy in your system, see, all the prophets were youth. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Ibrahim? قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتًا يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Ibrahim, he's a fata, a young man. Yani the people, the kuffar, they said, at his time, when after the idols were smashed, when they asked themselves, who did this? They said, we heard a young man mentioning our idols in a bad manner. His name is Ibrahim. Abu Bakr, Umar, Ibn Mas'ud, yani Ibn Abbas was a young boy, Ali. All radiallahu anhum were at just the beginning of their life. Why, my brothers and sisters? The Prophet ﷺ said to the meaning, I have been given victory by the youth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported this deen with the youth. Here, the ones who stood up against the tradition, against the shirk wal-iyadu billah, were the youth of the kings. Yani these kids, this youth, were the sons of kings. They did not like the way their people are carrying on with worshipping idols and celebrating to the idols. So they withdrew and they said, Oh Allah, they turned to the Lord, Rabbana, oh our Lord, give us mercy. Bestow on us your mercy and facilitate for us a way out of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whomever fears him, he will protect him. And he will provide for him from ways and means he never thought of. They turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them. Then they ran to the cave. فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا Therefore we covered up their sense of hearing, causing them to go in a deep sleep in the cave for a number of years. And listen to the miracle of the Quran. فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ We covered their ears. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered their ears so they cannot hear anything else outside. And they fell into sleep. Because they went into a very long sleep. If they can hear anything, then they would wake up. Because what wakes you up is not really the light as much as it is the voice, the noise that you hear outside. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered their ears. And ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا Then we raised them up from their sleep that we might test which of the two parties was the best at calculating the time period that they had and spent inside the cave. See here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in summary about the story. But then now, when the story starts to expand and go through the details of the story. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the story and said, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ We narrate unto you, O Muhammad, their story with the truth. Truly there were a young men who believed in their Lord Allah and we increased them in guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here telling us about them. Now the ulama, they narrated the story. They said, these young men, they were the son of kings. And at one time, their families worshipping the idols and having a celebrating day for the idols. Of course, these young men, they disliked that. They did not know each other at that time. They were not a group of friends yet. They did not plot with each other to get out of the town. But one by one, they started to withdraw from their community into a garden, into a bustan, a garden. And they all met inside this garden, sitting under the tree. One of them stood up and spoke. And then they all gathered around him, and the story began that way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهَا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطَا. And we made their heart firm and strong with the light of faith in Allah, and bestowed upon them patience to bear the separation of their kin and dwelling, when they stood up and said, Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and earth. Never shall we call upon any ilah God other than Him. If we did, we should indeed have uttered disbelief. Wal'iyadhu billah. This youth stood up and went into the garden, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made their hearts firm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this word, وَرَبَطَنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, also about the mother of Musa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the time when she threw her child Musa in the river, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala رَبَطَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا, as the verse said, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا إِنْ كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطَنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and in the morning the heart of the mother of Musa became empty, and she was going to scream loud, give me back my son, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make her heart firm, so she became one of the believers. So the mother of Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the time of need, He made her heart firm. And this is the case of a believer. He made also the heart of this young man steadfast to stand up against the rift, against the whole community, and to leave them and isolate themselves. See, my brothers and sisters in Islam, isolation, a Muslim, he's normally into isolation inside his heart, because his heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His heart is a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if his community is practicing sin, he cannot be engaged with the community when it's practicing sin. He only get engaged with them only when he need to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you, if you cannot change the haram, yani if you're sitting in a gathering where haram is practiced, if you cannot change it, then you should leave it. You should not take part of it. You should not be part of it. And this is what these young men done. They left their community when they knew they could not do anything about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمُنَا اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. These our people have taken for worship آلِهَة gods other than Him, Allah. Why do they not bring for them a clear authority? And who does more wrong than he who invents a lie against Allah? She, subhanallah al-azim. One of them stood up and said, he didn't like what was going on. After they are in the garden, after they're all in the garden, and they didn't know each other then, one of them stood up and said, our people have taken different gods with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where did they get their proof from? So at this, they all gathered together now and they became one group. This is the smart question. Where did they get the authority that these idols are gods? Where did they get the authority that these idols are gods beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Indeed, you need an authority for that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course if you're learning Tawheed, you notice this the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He always uses the proofs of rububiyya, of His Lordship, to tell you to worship Him. As you know, Tawheed is into Tawheed of Lordship and Tawheed of worship, ibadah, and Tawheed of names and attributes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us about His Lordship so we can worship Him. Exactly. These people and these young men, and notice to the word, to the accurate word in the Quran, when He said, اتخذوا من دونه آلهة, they took beside Allah gods. He did not say lords. Why? Because the Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They knew that. They had this Tawheed al-Rububiyyah in them. They knew that there is a Lord. But they had problem by worshipping the idols, which is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in countless verses in the Quran, He mentioned His Lordship. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار والفلك التي تجري في البحر بما ينفع الناس وما أنزل الله من السماء من ماء فأحيا به الأرض بعد موتها وبث فيها من كل دابة وتصريف الرياح والسحاب المسخر بين السماء والأرض لآيات لقوم يعقلون. Indeed, in the creations of the heaven and earth. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's telling you here, and he's telling everyone on this earth, can't you see the creation of heavens and earth? And the change of the day and night, and the boats, how it sails in the water and in the sea, that brings benefit to the people. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the rain, and he revives with it the barren land, after the land is died. And وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِن كُلِّ دَابَّةٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in this earth from so many different species of animals. And تَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ, and how the wind will travel. The sahab and the clouds in the heavens, between the heavens and earth, versus to people with aql, with rational thinking. So how can you turn to an idol? Can't you see all these heavens, or this earth, or this rain, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for you? So this is the clear authority they're talking about. For someone to deserve the worship, we need a clear authority. And this idol, they can't even protect themselves. And this is in the fitrah, in the natural of the nature of mankind. Mankind, once they start using their brains, they will desist all the worshipping of idols, and they will shun the idols. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in the Quran, أَفَمَنْ يَخْلُقُ كَمَنْ لَا يَخْلُقُ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Is then he who creates as one who creates not? Will you not then remember? يعني these ones who don't create anything. In fact, you made them. Mankind made them, painted them, and designed them. Like the one who does not create. So how can the one who cannot create nor help itself deserve the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the one who creates everything, you turn your back away from him? Of course, this is a lesson in aqidah. This youth could not comprehend how can their people worship the idol. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ اَعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. The young men said to one another, and when you withdraw from them and that which they worshipped except Allah, then seek refuge in the cave. Your Lord will open a way for you from His mercy and will make easy for you your affair by giving you dwelling and provision. So here, they said, what shall we do? What shall we do now? They said, let's go and hide inside the cave. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send something or will give us something. And he will bestow on us his mercy. See, they ran away to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They ran to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They found the doors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wide open for them. They preferred the life of a cave instead of a castle. They preferred to sleep on the sand instead of comfortable beds. They preferred to eat simple food instead of beautiful, nice food. Remember, they are the sons of kings. At this, the kings missed their children. They didn't know where they are. So they sent looking for them everywhere. In the streets, in the houses, for years and years until they forgot about them. And they only mentioned in the stories. Because no one would know where they are anymore. No one would know whatever happened to these young men. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us and he mentions to us what is the situation of these young men inside the cave. Ya subhanallah, someone would sacrifice everything. They'd rather live in a cave, in the sand, and the dust, and the dirt, but with monotheism, with tawheed, instead of living out, wal'iyadhu billah, with the castles and shirk and polytheism. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْهِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. And you might have seen the sun when it rose declining to the right from their cave, and when it set turning away from them to the left while they lay in the midst of the cave. That is one of the ayat, proof, evidence, signs of Allah. He whom Allah
guides, he is rightly guided, but he whom he sends astray, for him you will find no guiding friend to lead him to the right path. You would see the sun, when it rises, it turn away to the right from the cave. And when it sets, it turn away a little bit to the left. So here he's saying that in the morning, the sun comes a little bit to them, not full on their body, but they get enough sun. And on the left, also when it sets, they get enough sun for their body. And this way, because the skin and the body needs some vitamins you only can get from the sun. Subhanallah al-Azim. You only can get this type of vitamins from the sun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He wants to maintain them and keep them alive, they need a little bit of sun. Because if they were inside the cave with no sun at all, their skin would die and would have diseases in it. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and they are in the middle of the cave. Why? Because when you are in the middle of the cave, you get the air that is coming straight from the cave. Because if you are on the side of the other sides of the cave, you don't get the fresh air that it comes from the middle, from the gate or the door of the cave. And this is how, subhanAllah, with this accurate description, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the miracles inside the Quran and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them. And here he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ لَوِ اطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا. And you would have thought them awake while they were asleep, and we turned them on their right and on their left side, and their dog stretching forth his four legs at the entrance of the cave as a guard on the gate. Had you looked at them, you would certainly have turned back from them in a flight and would certainly have been filled with awe of them. Yani, subhanallah, amazing is the Quran. He said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would turn them a little bit to the right and a little bit to the left. Why? As Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not turn them a little bit to the right and a little bit to the left, the earth would have ate them. Just look at the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go to the hospitals and see some of the people who cannot move. They get a special nurse for them to move them a little bit to the right and a little bit on the left, so their muscles can move a little bit, and their body, yani the organs, don't get stuck on each other. Subhanallah al-Azim. See the ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, that you sometimes don't realize that you are actually, while you're sleeping by yourself, you turn from one side to another. Because if you would sleep for straight 10 hours or 8 hours on one side, you would wake up with so much pain in your left arm, in your leg, maybe your back. And this is the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He provided all these means for them while they are asleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them enough sun, will give them enough fresh air, will turn them right and left, and He bestowed another mercy on them. Their eyes were wide open. So anyone would walk past, he would think they were awake. But they are awake, and you get scared, because of course you can imagine, for a very long time the beard is grown, and the long hair, and they're sleeping with their eyes open. That, subhanAllah, would cause fear in the heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them, yani their dog that was with them, is in the door, in front of the door, with stretching his arms. This way, as you see the dog, how they protect the houses, he's there to protect the house for them, that cave for them, so no one will allow to enter, or no one can come and harm them. People would see the dog and they fear. If I was to ask you a question, what is the filthiest animal after the pig? You would say the dog. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the dog as a companion to the righteous people. Why? This is to drive the point, or to instill the point, the importance of companionship. Because you are as your friends are. If your friends, wal-iyadhu billah, a drug dealer, even if you're not, but you become mentioned with them. if your friends are evil people, you will be mentioned with them, even if you are not. And here, a filthy animal mentioned within the Quran as a companion to these young men because they were righteous. And this is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to us in the authentic hadith about companionship. He said, "Innama mathalu al-jalis as-salih, the example of a good companion, was jalis as-su', and the evil companion, kamathali hamil al-misk, as the example of the one who carries masks, the perfume, the beautiful perfume, wa nafikh al-kir, and the one who blows into the fire that melts the metal." In the olden days, you see they have like a pump of air so they can always keep the fire going, so they can melt the metal and beat it, so they can make swords and things out of it. Now that person, because of the smell of the fire and the sweating that he's sweating all the time, and the smell of the iron melting, he will have a very, very, very ugly smell. Show how the accurate description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَحَامِلُ الْمِسْكِ, the carrier or the merchant of mask, إِمَّا أَن يُحْذِيكَ, يعني other that he will give you a little bit of mask, you come and give you a little bit of sample, so now you smell good. وَإِمَّا أَن تَبْتَعَ مِنْهُ, or you would buy from him. وَإِمَّا أَن تَجِدَ مِنْهُ رِيحًا طَيِّبًا, or you would just, at least if you walk past a perfume shop, you say, oh, what a beautiful smell. Yani, anyway, you are winning. So either you are getting some free sample, smell a beautiful perfume on yourself, or you buy from him, or you just smell a good smell. And this is the good companionship. You either learn a good habit, or you imitate them and you become like them, or at least he will give you an advice. As for the nafikh al-kir wal-iyadu billah, the evil companion, إِمَّا أَن يَحْرُقَ ثِيَابَكَ, either he burn your clothes because he's blowing into a fire and the sparks comes and burn your clothes. إِمَّا أَن تَجِدَ مِنْهُ رِيحًا مُنْتِنًا, or if he doesn't burn your clothes, you'll smell a very ugly and bad smell from him. So here, what an accurate description. Yes, my brothers and sisters in Islam, nearly in every lecture, I mentioned about the importance of companionship, because the Quran never neglected this issue. Companionship, especially for us who live in the West, it has to be on top of your priority list. Don't ever deny, don't ever ignore if you have a bad friend, or if your son has a bad friend, or your daughter has a bad friend. Don't ever overlook that, because that is the path, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ to Jahannam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ قال قائل منهم كم لبثتم قالوا لبثنا يوما أو بعض يوم قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فابعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا. Likewise, we awaken them from their long sleep, that they might question one another. A speaker from them said, how long have you stayed there here? They said, we have stayed perhaps a day or part of a day. They said, your Lord alone knows best how long you have stayed here. So send one of you with a silver coin of yours to the town, and let him find out which is the good lawful food, and bring some of that to you, and let him be careful, and let no man know of you. Here, subhanallah, they woke up. After a very, 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 very long sleep, they did wake up. And one of them said, whoa, for how long we've been here? Said, maybe a day or part of the day. Just subhanallah. You will find they stayed there for a very long time, 300 years. And it is like a day or part of a day. My brothers and sisters in Islam, death is the same thing. You could spend 1,000 years in the grave, and after resurrection, you would say, I stayed a day or part of a day. And remember, sleeping is similar. It is the minor death. It is similar to death. Now, after they arose, they said, we are hungry. Of course, 300 years without food, they are hungry. And they said, take this old coin of silver. take this coin of silver, go to the town and buy us some food. But go quietly, because if your people would find you, they might kill you. They might stone you. And buy us azka ta'ama. Shuf the believer here. Azka ta'ama, it means a pure halal, halal food. Buy us halal food. Don't buy haram. See, they're still worried that they don't want to eat anything that is haram. Buy us halal food. And also, azka ta'ama, ulama has also said, a nice, good quality food. And this is also very important. Some people, they think, if they can afford good, nice food, quality food, they go buy a very cheap, very bad quality food, bring diseases to your system. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to say, إِنَّهُمْ إِنْ يَظْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ يَرْجُمُوكُمْ أَوْ يُعِيدُوكُمْ فِي مِلَّتِهِمْ وَلَنْ تُفْلِحُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. For if they come to know of you, they will stone you to death, or abuse and harm you, or turn you back to their religion, and in that case, you will never be successful. Here, also, they were worried. They said, look, go silently. Don't make any noise. Don't make anyone notice you. Don't let anyone see you. Because if they would catch you, they would kill you. They would stone you. They would torture you. And they would not leave you until you go back to their religion. And my brothers and sisters in Islam, we find as Muslims, similar thing today. You know and I know, in the West, how much the hijab is being criticized, for example. But why the hijab is criticized? Why the nuns, they do wear a hijab. Why the Muslim men, when they wear a garment, abaya and a bead, they are criticized, while a lot of the priests, especially the Orthodox ones, they grow the bead and they wear abaya, a long black garment. Why this is criticized and the other one not criticized? Why? This is shaitan. Shaitan is not happy with you. So he motivates the people to go against you. And they will stone you, they will swear at you, they will get angry with you, they will call you names until they turn you back. They turn you back to the old habits and their way and their habits. They're not happy with you to do that. It is not because you're wearing hijab, because it is a sign of tawheed. It is a sign of monotheism. And shaitan dislikes that. See, if you wear hijab and you wear a cross, big cross with it, and you walk down the street, people would not say anything. Why? Because you're wearing the sign of kufr. So shaitan is happy. This is very important, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that what is happening now to a lot of us today, where we feel strange and we feel hard to show our religion, exactly, these people have went through that. They could not express their religion, they could not show their religion, and then they were even fearing for themselves that they would get stoned, they would get killed, just by saying who they are, just by saying, I do not like these idols, just by exposing their monotheism to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then after that, it was said that when one of them went down to buy the food, when he bought the food, he came to pay the money. The man saw the money. He said, where did you get this money from? He said, well, this is the money. He said, no, we stopped using this money for a very, very, very long time. For over 300 years, we don't use this type of currency anymore. He says, what do you mean we don't use it? He says, yes, we don't use it anymore. And then after questioning back and forth, he found out that this person is the son of the king that he's been missing. So he took him to the king at that time. Of course, it was said that that king was a muwahhid, a monotheist. And then he was happy to find him and to find them. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكَذَلِكَ أَعْثَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍّ وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا إِذْ يَتَنَازَعُونَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَمْرَهُمْ فَقَالُوا ابْنُوا عَلَيْهِمْ بُنْيَانًا رَبُّهُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِهِمْ قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهُمْ مَسْجِدًا. And thus, we made their case known to the people that they might know that the promise of Allah is true and that there can be no doubt about the hour. And remember when they, the people of the city, dispute amongst themselves about their case, they said, construct a building over them. Their Lord knows best about them. Then those who won their point said, they said, we verily shall build a place of worship over them. See, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the debate that happened between the people after they found them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to be found, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show the people that this religion is a true religion. So after they were found, they passed away, all of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took their souls. Then the people wondered, what should we do with them? Now, of course, the people, they know these people are righteous people. And in every time and place, there is people who go extreme about the righteous people. They build over them domes and seek blessing from them. And wal'iyadu billah, all this shirk that you know about from the lessons of Tawheed, wal'iyadu billah. Now they disputed. Some of them said, let's do this, and some of them said, let's do that. Then the ones who have the power, they said, no, let's build a mosque over them, a place of worship over them. And remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, while he was dying, he said, may Allah curse the Jews and the Christians. They took the graves of the prophets as places of worship. He's warning us from what they have done. And these people, they've done the same thing about those righteous people. They built a place of worship over them. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the surah, he's saying to us about the debate that happened. And he said, سَيَقُولُونَ ثَلَاثَةٌ رَابِعُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. Yani some people would say that these are three, their fourth is their dog. And some would say there are five young men and their sixth is their dog. رَجْمًا بِالْغَيْبِ, guessing at the unseen. وَيَقُولُونَ سَبْعَةٌ وَثَمِنُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ. And they would say, seven, the eighth is their dog. Say, my Lord knows best what's their number. قُلْ رَبِّي أَعْلَمُ بِعِدَّتِهِمْ. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ قَلْ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Only minority and few that know them. فَلَا تُمَارِي فِيهِمْ إِلَّا مِرَاءً ظَاهِرًا وَلَا تَسْتَفْتِ فِيهِمْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. So do not debate about their number except with a clear proof which we have revealed to you, and do not consult not any of them, people of the scripture, Jews and the Christian, about the affair of the people of the cave. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows their number. Here Ibn Abbas said, I am from that minority, and they are seven, and their eighth is their dog. Yani, this is the opinion of Ibn Abbas there, that they are seven, and their eighth is their dog. So they're about seven young men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not ask about them too much. Do not worry about their number. See here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would teach us a lesson. Yani, for example, someone would ask, oh, where is that cave? Is it in Jordan? Is it in Syria? Or what is the name of the dog? Or how many they are exactly? The moral of the story, the wisdom of the story, is not about the name of the dog, nor about where is the cave in which country, nor about their number. The moral of the story is how they withdrew themselves and they sacrificed for the sake of Allah for Tawheed and monotheism, and they disliked what their people are doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching a lesson that do not ask about these things. Do not ask about things that are not going to increase your iman. Do not ask about things that it's not going to relate back to your ibadah. Why do I need to ask where is the cave? If I told you the cave is in Jordan, or I told you it's in Texas, what is the answer? What would that increase your iman? What would that increase the knowledge? Nothing. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not ask. And do not even ask the people of the book, of the scripture about this, because we revealed to you what ummah of Islam need to know. This is what you need to know, and this is enough for you so you can increase your iman, your deen, and your ibadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's reminding the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا. And never say of anything, I shall do such and such thing tomorrow. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Except with the saying, if Allah will. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. And remember your Lord when you forget. وَقُلْ عَسَىٰ أَن يَهْدِيَنِ رَبِّي لِأَقْرَبَ مِنْ هَذَا رَشَدًا. And say, it may be that my Lord guides me unto a nearer way of the truth than this. See here, as I said in the beginning of the story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now I told you about their story, but do not ask anyone. And if you wanted to say something that you want to do it tomorrow, say inshallah. Say if Allah wills. And if you forget, say remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember, forgetting is from the shaitan wal'iyadu billah. وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانِ يعني, as the next story inshallah, that the only one who made me forget it is the shaitan. The only one who makes me forget is the shaitan. So وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. Remember your Lord when you forget. Always when you forget, remember, make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَبِثُوا فِي كَهْفِهِمْ 300 سنين وازدادوا 9. And they stayed in their cave 300 years and they added 9. The ulama said here, 300 years solar years and added 9, yani 309 in the lunar year calendar and 300 years in the solar year calendar. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sealed the story for us by saying, قُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُوا لَهُ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ مَا لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا. Allah knows best. How long they stayed with Him is the knowledge of the unseen, of the heavens and the earth. How clearly He sees and hears everything. They have no helper, disposer of fear, protector other than Him, and He makes none to share in His decision and His rule. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these stories, there's so many lessons. In this story, there's so many lessons. Yani, one of the first lessons, the importance of Tawheed, the importance of worshipping Allah alone, the importance of not staying in the places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, the importance that a Muslim lives with his heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he isolates himself from the people who are performing evil deeds if he cannot change that. Also, there is a lesson of the reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have complete tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you are in trouble and you're in need, and when you sacrifice something with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you better things. If not in this dunya, He will give you better things in the hereafter, as this young man sacrificed everything they had for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the brotherhood of Islam. Yani, what made this young man get together with no previous appointment except the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got them together. And exactly in this room here, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got us together. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got us together. And this is how these young men got together. It's because the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, there is a story, there is a lesson for us, that not to ask about things that we have no benefit of. Yani, to ask about how many years or what is the name of people of the cave. Or ask about things that would not going to increase our ilm and knowledge. It's only just to chat and talk and to waste time. Also, the importance of companionship, that to take the correct companion. As you see here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the dog in the Quran, the filthy animal, because he was companion to the righteous. So if you cannot be a student of knowledge, be a companion of students of knowledge. Yes, be their companion, because at least you will learn something, and at least you will get some of the reward. And it is very important also to take the right means so you can protect yourself from the evil of people. As when they send the young men to buy them the food, they said, protect yourself, cover yourself, do not expose us. This is some of the tip of the iceberg of the lessons. Otherwise, the Quran or the stories of the Quran are full of lessons for us. Jazakum Allah khair for listening. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka. وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.